You're listening to It Hurts When It Burns When I Pee. I'm sorry, folks.
86 Productions.
1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I got the clap and I can't pee. It burns, burns, burns. When I pee, when I pee, or when I pee. Burns, burns, burns.
Hey there, y'all. It's your sweet and sassy announcer, Cheyenne, here. I just got back from the flea market, and I got a big old garbage bag full of new clothes for me and the baby. But first comes first, I gotta earn my paycheck. Wait, that cheap bastard Blake don't pay me shit. Anyway, welcome to episode number 5 of It Burns When I Pee. We are here at Get Your Hank On Studios, ready to deliver another great show. In this episode, we have an interview with Cousin Spitz, Ward Harrison from the Hackensaw Boys. We also have a visit from Dr. Richard Hung, and of course, we are going to play some kick-ass music. And as always, we throw some surprises in as well. So, I'm going to go outside to the wash tub and get these clothes washed. You just sit back and enjoy episode number 5 of It Burns When I Pee.
This is Bob Wayne, and It Burns When I Pee. Wait. You're listening to It Burns When I Pee. Sorry about that. And it does burn when I pee. Thank God to that stupid girl down in Texas. But anyways, we're shoving pop country down and beating the hell out of it.
All right, all my hellbilly mofos out there. This is your host, Blake Clayton. And you're listening to episode 5 of It Burns When I Pee. And today's show, we've got an interview with Ward Harrison. He is the guitar player for the Hackensaw Boys, and they got a new record that came out in June. It's called Lookout. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. We're going to play a song called Kiss You Down There, which was from their prior album, which is entitled Love What You Do. And after the interview, we're going to play a song called Oh Girl, which Ward helped write, and that's off their new album. Again, it's called Lookout. We've also got a special guest, Dr. Richard Hung, and he's going to talk to us about some serious issues that are going on in the world today. And we might even take a caller. So we've got a lot of show to get to, a lot of information at the end of the show. We're going to start it out here with a commercial from my buddy Howard. And he's got a show called The Bootleg Asylum Radio Show. And you can find that on flapdaddy.com. And our good friend Jared, who does the album reviews for us, also does an album review, I think, once a week for Howard's show. So we're going to go ahead, play that commercial, go straight from the commercial into Kiss You Down There by the Hackensaw Boys, and then we'll have the interview, and we'll have much, much more when we come back. Check it out, bitches.
Hey, how you doing? This is One More Name, host of the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show. To find my show, go to flapdaddy.com, click the live shows tab, then click on the Bootleg Asylum picture link for showtimes. But right now, you're listening to It Burns When I Pee on section86.com.
All along this valley and under this here sky, there is nothing to win, 'cause friends, you're gonna die. When it comes, you don't know, and how it comes is the fear. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. Oh, here come old Mary with a friend in tow. She's as sweet as Sunday, but there's something she don't know. Now tonight, I wanna kiss you down there. I love you, baby, there's no lying that I do. I wanna kiss you down there. Here
bridge, backsliding again. Me and Shady Grady and a couple of his friends. Not a drop of water, but a jug of wine. Now we might die of thirst first, but the living sure is fine. So tonight, I wanna kiss you down there. I love you, baby, there's no lying that I do. I wanna kiss you down there. I wanna kiss you down there. I love you, baby, there's no lying that I do. I wanna kiss you down there. Now here come old Mary with a friend in tow. Now she's as sweet as Sunday, but there's something she don't know.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 5 of It Burns When I Pee. And you just heard Kiss Me Down There by a band called Hackensaw Boys. And from the Hackensaw Boys, we have Ward Harrison, who is a guitar player. Ward, pleasure to have you on the show.
How you doing? Good to be alive.
Mostly tonight.
Mostly tonight.
So for people who have never heard of the band, or can you kind of describe what the sound, what Hackensaw Boys' sound is?
It's different things to different people, especially with a group of revolving cast members and a group of six people now. It's it is what I like to call hectic old time country, and I use the country term and not the pejorative modern glitzy schmaltzy Nashville country, but you know, old time country. It's hill music. It's Southwestern Virginia music, it's Eastern Carolina music, it's our fiddle player Ferd is from Mississippi, so he brings an old time southern deep south fiddle thing. We like to write real songs and sort of halfway old time, new, hectic, upbeat, some would say punk rock style. So I guess I'm really just talking around the subject here. What I would say is that it's upbeat, danceable, hectic, two-step country.
There you go. I kind of put it as, it's kind of like the Del McCoy Band meets Split Lip Rayfield. That was kind of the way I used to describe it. I don't know if that's a good term for you.
No, it's a great term, and we love Split Lip, and Kurt, unfortunately, has just left us not long ago, but definitely, although we and they happened independently of one another, definitely met on a sort of a common playing field, and really, really love sharing shows with those guys.
So how long has the band been together? I mean, how long has the core band actually been together?
In various incarnations, it's been together since 99. An old GMC bus was purchased, 60s GMC, 65 GMC bus was purchased in 2000, and the band has pretty much been touring steady since.
And like you mentioned, there's been a number of lineup changes over the years. And how do you think that's affected the band? And how have you maintained your core sound?
Well, I think the minute the Hackensaw Boys started playing together, it sort of became its own thing. And it's, you know, it's just like an old choir. It's like, or a new choir for that matter. It's just like, you know, the sum is greater than its parts.
Sure.
So the defining sound is, at any given time, of course, what what the constituent members are. I mean, you know, we used to have Charlie Bell used to play a dobro, and that added a, you know, a sort of a kind of a bluesy sound to it. And then he split, and then Tommy Peloso, who's now in Modest Mouse, switched from bass to fiddle, and that kind of changed things a little bit. You know, Shiner, Dave Sicklin, who wrote Kiss You Down There, he, you know, towards the last, in the last record, he really was focusing on ballads. So he, the last record was a really kind of a slow, kind of brooding, introspective record, whereas this new one is, you know, very, very hyper intense and upbeat. So I guess the answer to the question is, how have we maintained a core sound? I'm not really sure. We all kind of meet in a common ground in certain areas, but certainly the different lineups of the Hackensaw Boys have certainly influenced the overall sound. I guess in the beginning it was kind of ragtag and sort of any given day there could have been 11 people on stage or 5 people on stage, you know.
Yeah.
And so that sort of thrown together kind of jamboree thing was sort of the core in the early days. I think maybe now we're a little bit tighter, a little bit more focused on, you know, on tightness and really, really, really being together. But I think overall the Hackensaw ethos is show up, stand in front of a microphone and let them have it and rage as fast and as seriously and as aggressively as you can and get the people dancing. And somehow or another, that's sort of how we've maintained it.
There you go. And you kind of answered one of my questions was, you know, why was there such an overall difference in the sound between your first album with Netrek Productions, which was Love What You Do, and then the newer album called Look Out. So you kind of answered that in the form of that question.
Well, but, and also there were, you know, three other independently released records. Give It Back, Get Some, and Keep It Simple. And, you know, those records are maybe, I guess, maybe in a lot of ways, this record is sort of a hearkening back to earlier incarnations of Hackensaw's, in that those were, you know, high energy, very dancey, kind of lots of call and response, sort of almost revival style vocals. And the last record was sort of steered by Shiner, by Dave Sicklin, and that was his chance to shine, and you know, I played in bands with Dave since the early 90s for years, and we played in punk bands together, and we played in, you know, country bands together, but he felt like he just had a lot of material that was the more ballady stuff, and that's kind of how it ended up being.
Sure. So what is it like working with Netrek Productions? I mean, how it, you know, as opposed to when you were producing the albums independently and releasing them independently, these two last two albums have been on our label. How has that helped you guys?
Bottom line, one word, simply. I mean, aside from the fact that the label is very, very kind to us, but the one word is distribution. You very simply, by having a national label, and it's all, they're an international label too. There's Network Europe and Network Canada. And they have offices in New York City and LA. And very simply, your CD gets on the top of the pile.
Sure.
It's in record stores across the nation. We are now, you know, I mean, we're on the Americana charts. We're already have been on the Americana charts longer than we were last time. And that will, you know, either of the times on there would not have been possible without. It would have been much more difficult without the largesse of a really a great label. I mean, Network is a remarkable group of people who are really, you know, really into what they like. And if they like you, they really will support you. And fortunately, I think we're on the like category of them right now.
There you go.
And, you know, we get to, what it means is we get to play on labels. I mean, on the record stations, we get great treatment overseas. It means that our label or our record is in stores. When we show up somewhere, we go to the local mom-pop shop or even the Best Buy, it's there. So it's simply distribution and representation. We don't get kind of brushed aside, you know.
Right. You know, and a lot of the bands that, you know, we've had on the show, you know, they're struggling. You know, they're selling their albums out of their van after the show.
Yeah.
And although that's the traditional get started way to do it, eventually you have to come to a point where you have to have somebody backing you. And in this instance, that's kind of what you're talking about.
You know, it's amazing. I'm looking at sort of the today, we are, if I can do my own little promotion, we're number 11 on the Americana charts right now, up one from last week from 12. And, you know, I was looking at sort of our brethren there on the chart. And, you know, of course, Ryan Adams is holding steady at number one, and he's not going anywhere for a while. But, you know, the top rosters like Wilco and Sunvolt and Marty Stewart and, you know, the Gourds and, you know, these bands that are very, you know, I mean, I love those bands, and I think that those bands should be on those charts. But, like, what would they be if they didn't have that sort of that help, that leg up?
Sure.
And it's remarkable to be able to share the space with those people that we love and admire, but that also, I mean, you know, we play all over the country with amazing bands that blow us away, bands that we are afraid to follow, you know, and the only difference between them and us is that, you know, we're out doing it nationally and internationally, and I guess what I'm saying is there's just so much talent everywhere. The bonus of being on a label is quite simply to is the attention, is the second look, is the radio play, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
And it's pretty remarkable, and we are, I think I speak for everybody, it's a very lucky place to be.
Sure. Now, of course, you have the two albums out that you've released under that label. First one was Love What You Do, and
mm-hmm.
the newest one is, that just came out in June, I do believe, it's called Look Out.
Correct.
Now, the three other albums that you released independently, are those still available? Can fans still get a hold of those, or how do they go about getting those?
They are, and everything is available on our website. That's HackensUpBoys.com and MySpace. HackensUpBoys at MySpace, of course. I do know that I would have to double check to see if the full length records are, but I do know for a fact that. They are available as downloads. Almost every song on those records are available on downloads. Now, as far as a hard copy version, I would have to double check that. I know that they were at this time, but we've just now done some MySpace updates, and every now and then there's a glitch in the system where somebody's like, "Yeah, I tried to get your record, but I couldn't get it," and you're like, "Well, we better get on that." So, ostensibly, or you know, for all intents and purposes, yes, it should be available on HackensUpBoys.com or MySpace.
Okay, great. Now, you said that, you know, you have a lot of fans overseas, and I know that you have a lot of fans over in Amsterdam, is that correct?
Yes, we play at the Paradiso sometimes several times when we're there in a stretch.
And do you find that the fans overseas are different than here at the States, or are they kind of the same?
Well, they speak a different language, so that's one thing. But overall, I think the American market is so varied by region, as is Europe, of course, but the arts are so subsidized and so supported overseas that you have, how can I say this? The qualitative difference, I guess, is that they are there to... They will go and see a band just because of a little name-dropping ad, meaning, say they've never heard of the Hackensaw Boys, and they see so-and-so is coming to the local music venue, and it says, if you like Old Crow Medicine Show and you know, Bill Monroe, then you should go check out the Hackensaw Boys. And people will literally come out just because of that.
Sure.
They will look at each other, I assume look at each other, and they will go, "Oh, honey, we like this, let's go check this out." That, I don't think that happens as much in the U.S. It's very scene-oriented in the U.S., you know?
Sure.
They are sometimes a little bit more reserved, and there's a little bit more of a listening room vibe going on. They're kind of intently paying attention. But just when you think that that's become the norm, then you'll, you know, roll into Groningen, Netherlands, and you'll be playing at a club for 200 of the rowdiest, screaming transplanted rednecks from, you know, North Carolina, as you ever, you know, sure. what I mean? It's just like, it is different, but it's not. Everybody's there for the same reason, and we're there for the same reason, we're just really, really lucky. You know, a lot of bands don't go overseas like that. We're very fortunate in that way, too.
So, some kind of specific questions for you, I guess, as an artist. When did you start playing the guitar, and how did you get into it?
I played piano from at mom's demand when I was probably fifth grade, maybe 10 years old or something like that. And basically, very quickly, I learned that the piano was a parlor on display instrument. And so everybody heard you practice, and everybody heard your mistakes, and everybody heard you when you deviated from the lesson plan, and mom knows when you're playing Jake Giles Band and George Jones and not playing Mozart, and that's not the lesson. And so I got a guitar when I was 12, I guess, maybe 13, because then I could retreat into my room, and it could be a more private thing. And I think in a lot of ways that's where that kind of... I don't know. I mean, I'm a huge, as we all, most of us are, I'm a huge fan of country music and the country ballad and the sort of confessional tad country song. And it's kind of hard to do that loud and proud while mom's making meatloaf. You know
there,
what I mean?
There you go.
So the guitar was really a sort of retreat into my own little world kind of instrument. And I started on acoustic guitar, and of course played electric, and now I'm banging acoustic guitar with these guys.
There you go. So what are some of your biggest influences musically from when you started and kind of now? What do you have on your iPod, I guess?
Oh, wow. I think when I started, I grew up in Manassas, Virginia, which is prime floppy sneaker, bleached jeans, and concert tee land. You know what I mean? It was riding motorcycles and horses and chewing tobacco and playing baseball. So when I grew up, it was, you know, I was listening to classic AOR, you know, album-oriented rock AOR radio. I was listening to Zeppelin and Beatles and Van Halen and stuff. And, you know, as a youthful protest, me and all my friends sort of rebelled against the country music that all our parents listened to because, you know, Merle Haggard didn't really have a lot to offer a 13-year-old boy, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it took, on my iPod, it's as varied from Jimmy Martin and the Lubin Brothers to Lamb of God, who are my buddies in Richmond, Virginia, who are a huge phenomenon in the metal world. I mean, there's really little that I won't listen to. You know, in the van when we're driving, we've got everything from old time banjo and Charlie Poole to Bucca White and Trinidad and Tobago calypso music to Hawaiian slap key guitar to Modest Mouse to Camper Van Beethoven, Cracker, and all rock and roll points in between. I mean, we're pretty much got an open door policy for anything that lights a fire. We're all about it.
And do you think that having that wide variety of musical interests kind of helps keep the new music coming to you as opposed to getting in a rut where you're playing and writing the same stuff because you don't have as many influences? But with this instance where you're listening to a lot of different stuff, it kind of keeps a fresh vibe to it?
Well, or result in arguments.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different directions that everybody is pulling, you know? Like, you sort of have to kind of find a center ground that everyone's comfortable with. And you have all these, the way I like to look at it, you have this center sphere that and you have all these surrounding sort of orbiting spheres, and when they come in across one another, you have that little sort of ellipsoid that becomes the part of the shared experience, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody like Justin and myself, who came from, you know, also a lot of punk rock backgrounds in the D.C. area. He's from Wheeling, West Virginia. He and I are both huge Discord fans from way back in the early Ian MacKaye, Fugazi and Minor Threat and Teen Idols days. You know, we tend to perhaps like the more energetic stuff. But then at the same time, Furs, who comes from a very Mississippi and Carolina fiddle background, he really likes the aggressive, fast stuff. It's just that he does it on fiddle.
Right.
And it is sometimes problematic because at any given time, we're trying to also define who we are. Like, you know, what is this record going to sound like? What is, you know, how are we going to make this record next different from the next one? But at the same time, I think it's all very much in a good spirit of sharing and a collectiveness that is very, very important. And you know, I mean, I don't know. We don't know what the next record is going to sound like. We've been really busy promoting this one right now. We might, you know, take a couple of left turns, and who knows? There might be a drum set on the next record. There might be an electrical instrument on the next record. But as long as it's not forced, as long as it seems like it happens organically, I think that I speak for everybody when I say that we're pretty much up for anything. I mean, we're not going to put out a metal record tomorrow, I can tell you that. But you know, what happens on the next record, we still don't even know how it's going to be.
Right. So what is life on the road like for the Hackensaw Boys? Is it like Party Like a Rock Star, or is it something different?
Some more than others. I think that I think most of the guys would probably agree that I tend to be more towards the let's go find the party and finish the bottle of whiskey kind of fella. Whereas, you know, I mean, Malin, Hackensaw, Rob Bullington, he has a beautiful, you know, 14-month-old son at home and a wife. So he's probably more inclined to go back to the hotel room, call his lovely wife, and you know, fall asleep in front of cable.
There you go.
Me and Ferd, however, have been known to grab our instruments and show up on a porch somewhere and help somebody finish their moonshine. So it depends. I mean, you can't play 2 hours a night and then drive 6 hours a day and not get rest. You can't do that all the time.
Right.
So as much as I would love to you know, never put the bottle down, I mean, you just can't. You can't behave like that and still be getting it done. So, you know, I mean, the other thing is some of us are getting older. You know, I've been doing this in various bands for about 20 years now. So I was about 15 years old, and you know, I'm not physically able to throw down like a college freshman anymore. So yeah, what it really means, life on the road in this rather unglamorous way, what it really means is a lot of time driving and drinking bottled water and sleeping in hotel rooms.
There you go. So, final question for you. If you hadn't chosen the wild life of a musician, what do you think you'd be doing today?
Somehow or another, I managed to get a degree in English from James Madison University back in the 90s. I'm not sure how that happened, but I have never really used my degree. I always worked in restaurants, and I've always done, you know, remodeling, refinishing of homes, light construction, framing, wallboard, blah, blah, tile work, et cetera. So just general carpentry. And when I'm not on the road, that's what I'm doing. I'm, you know, residing the house or redoing a floor of a bathroom or replacing windows or picking up a shift at Cuba Cuba and selling and serving the people the food, you know. So quite literally, if I didn't spend half to two-thirds of the year on the road, I would be what they call in the service sector, and that is providing the services for people who have money who don't want it or can't do it themselves. Not really glamorous life, but it pays the mortgage, you know what I mean?
There you go. So if anybody wants to find out about the Hackensaw Boys, that you can go to hackensawboys.com, and you also have a MySpace, which is...
MySpace page, which is Hackensaw Boys at MySpace Hackensaw Boys. I forget how it works. But I do encourage you, anybody who's hearing this, you know, I do encourage the comments and to send us messages, because I try to answer every single comment, and anytime anybody sends us a heads up, I mean, unless it's obscene or something, you know, as long as it doesn't involve naked people or cuss words, and I try to respond to everything. So we can be, you know, you can post a comment or just say hi on the MySpace page. You know, and the website is pretty cool now. We've had a lot of good stuff on it. There's a lot of information about ex-members. There's a great photo slideshow with all the ex-members, Bobby and Dave and Tommy and Dave Bell, and named Charlie Bell and Dave Goldstein and just everybody on there. So it's for everything you wanted to know and maybe a little bit too much more, you can hit us at hackatellboys.com or the MySpace.
All right. Hey, Ward, I really appreciate your time. I know you had some struggles this evening, but it was a pleasure having you. And like I said, I love your music, and I love what you guys are doing. And we got to keep this, I guess, revolution alive and kind of kick pop country in the face.
It ain't going to spin itself, man. It all takes a little bit every time.
All right, Ward. Thanks a lot for being on the show. And now, everybody, we're going to play another song from their new album, Lookout. It's called Oh Girl.
Young thing, gonna buy that girl a black diamond ring, all girl. Better wear that ring, better wear it proud, better wear that ring all over town, all girl. And your daddy seemed like a sensible man, if he knows what's right, he'll let you take my hand, all girl. Salt your tree, y'all, girl.
So that's a hell of a band, the Hackensaw Boys, and I'd like to thank Ward Harrison again for being on the show. They got a good thing going. Definitely check them out at their MySpace or check them out at hackensawboys.com. I want to let everybody know we got a couple announcements to make. I know that I told you that the online store was going to be up August 1st. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. We're getting very, very close, and when we do, we'll post a blog and give you the website address. I'm sure your wife or your husband would like a It Burns When I Pee t-shirt or a Vertebreaker t-shirt. Or maybe your wife wants a pair of thongs that say It Burns When I Pee. Or your husband wants a pair of boxers. We're going to have a lot of stuff up here pretty soon. We'll definitely give you the website again to check them out. Also wanted to let everybody know that we have the next two episodes of It Burns When I Pee already booked. It's a first for me actually planning ahead. But the next episode, episode 6 of It Burns When I Pee, is going to be a special Hank Williams Sr. episode, and that's going to be posted hopefully by September 15th, which is, of course, Hank Williams Sr.'s birthday. He would have been 84 years old this year. And we're going to have somebody from the Hank Williams Museum in Montgomery, Alabama on the show, kind of give a little bit of information and history about the museum, kind of let you guys know what goes on at the museum during this holiday, as some of us like to think of it as. And for episode 7, which is going to be posted in October, we're going to have that special Halloween episode. And who better to have on the show, the Halloween show, than Lonesome Wife from Those Poor Bastards. So we got two shows lined up already. They're going to be big shows. We're going to be playing a lot of music on the next episode. We're going to play some Hank Williams music. We're going to play a couple songs, Hank Williams songs that are performed by other people. I'm considering that going to be a lengthy show. So look forward to that. And again, we look forward to having Lonesome Wyatt on in October for the Halloween episode. So I guess the next thing to do...
Hello, my name is Dr. Richard Hung, and I'd like to talk to you about a serious epidemic that we have in this country. I am, of course, speaking about pop country syndrome. Thanks to corporate Nashville, this disease has spread like wildfire across our FM radio stations, Walmart music departments, and television sets. We, as a nation, need to begin our fight against PCS before it's too late. Now, you may be asking, how do I know if I have PCS? Here's a few simple questions to ask yourself. Do you sometimes find yourself singing, "Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy," over and over, even though you've never even cared about the horse population before? Have you ever downloaded or purchased anything to do with Bucky Covington? Do you spend more than $75, alcohol not included, when you go see your favorite country artist in concert? Do you think Cowboy Troy makes good country music? Do you consider Toby Keith an outlaw? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, then you're affected by PCS. It is vital that you seek medical attention as soon as possible. If not treated early, you may become completely retarded. Don't be discouraged. There is hope. There's a cure for PCS, and you can get it at section86.com. Go to section86.com and download all the episodes of It Burns When I Pee. Lock yourself in a room and listen to them over and over again until this urge to listen to Rascal Flatts goes away. Do not, I repeat, do not attempt to listen to any Sugarland or Kelly Pickler. This could lead to a quick and severe relapses. Be sure to take at least one dose of David Allan Coe and Waylon Jennings a day. I cannot stress enough the permanent damage that PCS can cause. The safest way to prevent getting PCS is to not listen to FM radio or watch CMT. Help us fight this horrible and crippling disease. Go to section86.com and download It Burns When I Pee. Also check them out at myspace.com/itburnswhenipee86. Only you can take the first steps toward the road of recovery.
Well, thank you very much for your time and expertise, Dr. Hung. I knew the situation was pretty bad, but I didn't realize it was that bad. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a call right now. We have a call on the line from Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, you're on It Burns When I Pee. What can we do for you?
Thank you. My name is Tim McDonald.
Well, hello, Tim. Are you struggling with PCS?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to talk about.
Well, we're going to try to help you out the best we can.
Well, it all started a few years ago. You know that fellow Kenny Chesney?
Yes.
I think his tractor's sexy.
What?
I think his tractor's sexy.
You mean like the song?
Yes, except I really feel that way.
I don't quite follow. Your case is a little strange.
Man, I don't know what to do. I hope you know, sir, that I'm a married man. My wife's name is Faith Hillenbottom. Faith Hillenbottom. And she's a pretty thing. But now I can't stop thinking about Kenny's tractor. Man, it just makes me want to sing.
She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Ah, there it is, the PCS. My own songs are getting worse.
Well, calm down, sir.
I think my wife is finding out. She caught me in the bathroom last night, but not with a Playboy calendar. She caught me with a John Deere calendar.
Look, Tim, I think we've heard enough. You are indeed suffering from PCS. We have to go off the show, but what I want you to do is to please put away your Kenny Chesney CDs, and please, for the love of God, stop singing pop country songs. You're only making things worse.
I understand. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. It's Cheyenne here. No, it's not the end of the show already, but it's time for me to tell you about TwangNation.com. Twang Nation's one of our favorite websites here at It Burns When I Pee. I love sitting in my silky black teddy with a cold beer in hand and logging on to their website. They feature a lot of country music blogs, news, and reviews. They have tons of links to your favorite real country artists and labels as well. So go check them out, because you know as well as I do, country music shouldn't suck.
Here we are, folks, in the final segment of this episode of It Burns When I Pee. I wanted to let everybody know that besides the Bootleg Asylum radio show, I also have a good friend who does a show on FlapDaddy.com called The Misfit Radio. And if you want to check out the times for that show, they are on our MySpace, and there's hyperlinks to Twang Nation, to Bootleg Asylum, and to The Misfits Radio. And they've all been really good in promoting us, so we want to promote them, so definitely check them out. Show times, again, are listed on our MySpace. So before we wrap things up, again, we want to say thank you to Section86.com. If none of you guys have listened to the other show on Section86.com called Vertebraker, definitely check it out. You will be laughing your ass off constantly. The show is a gag. Andy and Aaron Hughes do a great job, and they have a colorful set of guests throughout each episode. And if I'm not mistaken, pretty soon they're going to be posting the Vertebraker / It Burns When I Pee episode. We got together and did a kind of a dual show, so that's one to check out. And, of course, it's going to be time for fantasy football here real soon, which means Section 86 Kiwani Sports League podcasts are going to be coming out. Those will be coming out periodically, almost weekly, I think, once the fantasy football season starts. And even if you guys don't like football, even if you don't know any of us, you definitely have to check that show out, because throughout the year it does get pretty funny and get pretty hilarious. I also definitely always want to thank TakeCountryBack.com. Those guys were big promoters of us at the start, and they've done a great job ever since, and my hat's off to them. So check them out. That's TakeCountryBack.com. And finally, I know most of you guys are sitting there waiting for the show to get over with so you can all hear your favorite character on the show, Cheyenne, take us out in her unique way. I do want to play a full song, which I normally don't do unless it's the featured artist, but I want to play a full song for a friend of mine out in Galesburg, Illinois. Her name is Chloe Marie Spencer, and I know she loves Johnny Cash, and I know she loves the movie Walk the Line. So, Chloe, so this is dedicated to you and your sister and your mom. Keep your heads up, and remember, get your Hank on. Thanks a lot, everybody. Keep supporting It Burns When I Pee at Section86.com.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Heart of mine, I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
It is now time to say goodbye, y'all. I've got dishes to do and the kids all need haircuts. Before I go, I'd like to remind everyone that you need to have your photos submitted for our photo contest by the end of August. The winner will receive an It Burns When I Pee prize pack that includes a CD from the Hackensaw Boys. You can see the entries that have already been submitted at our MySpace page. You can email your photos to us at itburnswhenipee86@gmail.com. Don't forget to call in our dial-in number, 309-761-4227. Give us a shout-out and we will put you on the show. Finally, we'd like to thank a bunch of people for making this show what it is. We'd especially like to thank TakeCountryBack.com for their continued support. We would also like to thank the guys at Misfit Radio and Bootleg Asylum Radio Show. Of course, we can't forget the folks at Section86.com for all their hard work. There are so many more people to thank, but like I said, I gotta give those kids a haircut. Check out all our supporters at our MySpace page. Thank you all again for your support, and don't forget to get your hang on. Sophisticated, mildly jaded, might describe you well, but that ain't the thing that's gonna ring my bell. So you're a music fan, you know some guys and bands, and your name is on the list plus one. Get me in a show, it's the day I go and buy a gun. I know it's rude to say, and I hope it's okay, and I know that we only just met, but I'm more man than you'll ever be, and more woman than you'll ever get. I'm more man than you'll ever be. I think you know what I mean. You ain't no